Haddo had said he could guess my questions, but if he guessed that one, he chose not to address it. "You and your friends are to be our guests, Erushoth. May I call you Ori?"
Guest? Hells.
I set my jaw, waiting for him to get the point. He seemed amused by my silence, shifting to lean against the table.
"Indeed. We have decided to welcome you among us as one of our initiates, our term for a new member. You'll be introduced to our doctrines, our customs, our whole way of life. Nothing will be hidden from you. Indeed, it is our hope that you will find enlightenment with us and rise within our ranks as a true believer."
This time, I turned my face toward him. I had learned that doing this drove the point home for seeing people.
"No."
He let out a gentle, untroubled sigh.
"It may take you some time to get used to the idea, of course."
"No." I clenched my fists in my lap and forced the words out, despite the agony of speaking.
"Where are my friends?"
There was a pause.
"The mortals who were brought here with you are also being inducted into our organization. Not the godlings, of course."
I swallowed, both to wet my throat and to push down a sudden queasy fear in my belly. There was no way they had managed to bring Madding and his siblings here against their will. No way.
"What about the godlings?"
Another of those telling, damning pauses.
"Their fate is for our leaders to decide."
I tried to figure out whether he was lying. These were godlings I was worrying about, not mortals. I had never heard of mortal magic that could hold a godling prisoner. But Madding had not come for me, and that meant he could not, for some reason. I had heard of godlings using mortals as cover for their own machinations. Perhaps that was what was happening here. Some rival of Madding's moving to take over the God's Blood trade, or perhaps another godling had taken the commission that Lady Nemer had declined. If either were true, though, wouldn't only Madding have been targeted and not his whole crew? Just then, there was a strange movement beneath my feet, like a shiver of the floor. It rippled through the walls, not so much audible as palpable. It was as if the whole room had taken a momentary chill. One of the thick windows even rattled faintly in its frame before going still.
"Where are we?" I rasped. "The house is attached to the trunk of the world tree. The tree sways slightly now and again. Nothing to be concerned about."
"Dearest gods." I'd heard rumors that some of the wealthiest folk in the city, heads of merchant cartels, nobility and the like, had begun to build homes onto the tree's trunk. It cost a fortune, in part because the Aramari had laid down strict requirements for aesthetics, safety, and the health of the tree, and in part because no one with the gall to build onto the tree would bother building a small house. That a group of heretics could command such resources was incredible. That they had the power to capture and hold half a dozen godlings against their will was impossible. "These aren't ordinary people," I realized with a chill. "This is more than money. It's power, too. Magical, political, everything." The only people in the world with that kind of power were Aramari.
"Now, I see that you're still not feeling well. Not well enough to carry on a conversation anyhow."
Haddo straightened, coming over to me. I flinched when I felt his fingers touch my left temple, where I was surprised to realize I had another bruise.
"Better," he said. "But I think I'll recommend that you be given another day to rest. I'll have someone bring you dinner here, then take you to the baths. When you've healed more, the Nypri would like to examine you."
Yes, I remembered now. After my false Nemero had shattered, I had been brought out of the empty place somehow. I had fallen to the floor, hard. The ache in my eyes, though, that was more familiar. I had felt the same at Madding's after I'd used magic to kill the order keepers at the park. Then I registered what Haddo had said.
"Nypri?"
It sounded like some sort of title.
"Your leader?" "One of our leaders, yes. His role is more specific, however. He's an expert scrivener. And he's very interested in your unique magical abilities. Most likely he'll request a demonstration."
The blood drained out of my face. They knew about my magic. How? It did not matter. They knew.
Don't want to, I said. My voice was very small, not just because of the soreness. Haddo's hand was still on my temple. He moved it down and patted my cheek, twice, in a patronizing sort of way. Both slaps were just a little too hard to be comforting, and then his hand lingered on me, an implicit warning. Don't be foolish, he said very softly. You're a good Maronite girl, aren't you? We are all true Tempans here, Ori. Why wouldn't you want to join us? The Aramari had ruled the world for thousands of years. In that time, they had imposed the Bright on every continent, every kingdom, every race. Those who'd worshipped other gods were given a simple command, convert. Those who disobeyed were annihilated, their names and works forgotten. Truri Tempest believed in one way, their way. How like Shiny, a small, bitter voice whispered in me before I forced it silent. Haddo chuckled again, but this time he stroked my cheek approvingly at my silence. It still stung. You'll do well here, I see, he said. With that, he went to the door and knocked. Someone let him out and locked the door again behind him. I sat where I was for a long while after, with my hand on my cheek.